97.5, The Fanatic.
Good afternoon, everybody. D-Line, I'm with you here at 97.5, The Fanatic. Keeping you company up till 6:30, I do believe. We'll take you right into Temple Owls football. Tom is sticking around. He helped Tyler. Now he's going to help D. And we're going to try to help you, or you can use us as a sounding board. We'll start with the Philadelphia 76ers, who last night played at home opener against the Brooklyn Nets. And things looked pretty good for a while there. Actually, right up till 5.5 minutes to play when they had a 10-point lead. And 5.5 minutes later, they had suffered defeat, 114-109. The stars of the game, if you will, I think you have to begin with Kevin Durant, who had his 13th career triple-double, 29 points, 15 boards, 12 assists. I personally would point out, everybody wanted to talk about what happened to the Sixers' defense in the fourth quarter, and offense in the fourth quarter, and I would say the Nets' defense had something to do with it, because I noticed at the half, a lot of the numbers were comparable between the two teams, with the exception of field goal percentage, and the Sixers were shooting 54%, and the Nets were shooting 44%. And that held true, actually close, through three quarters, right? Sixers shooting 54, and at the end of three, the Nets were shooting 45. And then all of a sudden, the Sixers can't score in much of the fourth quarter. They ended up being 6 of 23. They were 2 of 12 from three in that final frame, and thus lost the ballgame. Meanwhile, the Nets shot 50% in the fourth. So I said to myself, you know, partially as I'm looking at the game happening, I thought Brooklyn's defense looked soft. And somebody on Twitter said, you know, well, their defense wasn't bad in the playoffs last year. And so I had to go and look. And obviously they played 12 playoff games, you know, didn't go as far, meaning other teams played more. But for their time in the playoffs, they ended up with the lowest opponent's field goal percentage. So sure enough, there comes the fourth quarter. They turn it up a notch. Doc Rivers would say that his team had some contributions to, you know, not reversing the ball. They were out of position on a couple of plays, he felt. And so they suffered the loss. Personally, as I was looking at Joel Embiid, and he still ends up with decent stats, 19 points, 8 boards, 4 assists, 4 block shots. But I thought he looked like he was struggling a bit with the right knee soreness, which came about because he went knee to knee with somebody in the season opener. And I will tell you, when he got up from the podium after the game, when he spoke to the media, he winced, like just getting up out of his chair. I just looked at the injury report. As expected, he is listed as questionable for tomorrow's game against OKC. But here's the other deal. Andre Drummond is doubtful because of a right ankle sprain. I don't know exactly when that happened in the game. They didn't practice today, so it had to happen. I thought he played very well again. So Joel is questionable. Drummond is doubtful. And then the usual suspects are out. Shake Milton, Grant Riller, and Ben Simmons for his personal reasons. The good news, I guess, if you're looking for silver lining with tomorrow's 7 o'clock, one of the things Joel said is, you know, he intends to try to go out there. It is bothering him. He can't apparently hurt it any worse. But it's painful as he's playing. So it's kind of a catch 22, because you'd like to think if you don't play, is that helping it get better? It sounds to me it's just a time thing no matter what. And I know last year when he was, you know, in the MVP conversation, he strongly felt he was the MVP of this league. But Nikola Jokic played more games, and that's what it came down to. And so these are you're on game two of an 82-game season, and you know, he's already has an injury that, you know, you're looking every night and it says questionable. So I know he wants to continue to go out there because that is one of the knocks that he can't, he's not available enough all the time. And so we'll see. I will say those are pretty decent numbers because he only played, let's see, he played 22 in the first. I think he played 29 minutes last night. He definitely didn't hit 30. And I think he, if he can go at all tomorrow, you could build an early lead. OKC is 0-2. They can't score a lick. They scored 86 in their first game and 91 in their second. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is their best player by far. And if I told you who their second leading scorer is, I'll give you a hint. We'll leave it open for a little bit. Tom, you don't get to look up. But I will say he was a former Sixer in the last, I'm going to guess it's 5 years. So it was one of Brett Brown's teams. And he came here. We had hopes for him, and it didn't quite work out that way. But he started games here. Anyhow, he's their second leading scorer. So we'll see what happens. It is a bummer that Andre Drummond is not available. I think that would definitely have allowed Embiid to take a break for tomorrow and see if he could be right for their game after that is a game with the Knicks on Tuesday. And I don't know if anybody saw the Knicks were going crazy from downtown the other day and made the most threes, 24 threes they made in there. I believe they said it's been a while. It was a number of years. Now, granted, they haven't been good in a number of years, but they're off to a good start. And so, you know, I would want Embiid, if possible, if he can feel better with some rest, that would be a good thing. Drummond last night in his 18 minutes still had 10 boards to go with his 4 points. I mean, this guy as a starter last year averaged a double-double. I love him as the backup. I wish I knew when he had injured that ankle. So let's just talk about it. If you watched the game last night, how did you see the fourth quarter? And did you think it had more to do with the Nets or combination? I usually think, you know, I just have to point out that the Nets defense did seem to, they turned it up a notch, in my opinion. And I, as a whole, the Sixers didn't turn the ball over. They only had 9 for the game. So it's not that, but they pressured. And their defensive pressure kind of had the Sixers not knowing where they wanted to go. I don't know. I had to ask the question, you know, did Danny Green, was it fatigue? I mean, he had 3 straight air balls in the fourth quarter. And Doc said they were good shots. I'm not talking about that it was a good look. I'm asking, how do you have 3 consecutive air balls in the guts of a fourth quarter where you need a bucket? So he made his first 2 shots and he finished 2 of 6 from the floor. But those 3 to me were big. And, you know, when you get the dunk from Thibault with 5.5 minutes to play to go up 10, I'm not saying you can go cruise control from that point on, but you certainly seemed like defensively you knew what you were doing. And now all of a sudden here comes, you know, Durant and Harden, and they're going to chip away at you. And then just, you know, make it harder for you to get buckets at the other end. In the fourth, the big numbers came from LaMarcus Aldridge, who was 5 of 5, 3 of 3 at the line for 13 points. And I will say this, we talk a lot about the Sixers big men and, you know, what they can do in terms of having your Embiid and Drummond. But to be able to, for the Nets to come with Aldridge off their bench, not a bad guy, not a bad night for him. They needed to be able to do something to slow him down differently. And Doc was also asked about that. I know there were a lot of people who were talking about why he didn't challenge a couple of those plays. He said, we have a guy. As most people do when you're in football, they'll ask the guy up in the booth. Usually they're quickly looking at the play, you know, rolling it back on their own device. And in 3 cases, Doc was told by his guy that, you know, don't do it. You're not gonna win this one. The one I saw the most was the one they wanted to go, saying it was off the foot of Durant, out of bounds. When I looked at the replay, I don't know about anybody else. It looked like it bounced on the hardwood to me. But that was just the angle that I saw on Twitter, because I was there, so I didn't have a monitor near me at the time. And so I was strictly going to Twitter after the fact, and somebody put it up there. To me, it looked like, I mean, I guess you can still challenge it, but to me, I would say I would have seen it as I'm going to lose this challenge. I'm just doing it for the sake of doing it. All that is on the table. You can also weigh in on where we are right now with the Ben Simmons situation. He met with his teammates yesterday. He met with the teammates and coaching staff, and I believe the medical staff as well. So all of that is moving in that direction. He is not at a place where he's able to play right now and mentally. And I don't know if that also includes physically, because I do know when he missed his workout on Thursday, which was a one-on-one scheduled workout, he did not go through that. Because he said his back was bothering him, and he did get treatment on the back. So we'll see where that goes. I do think the plan is laid out, and if you're looking at both sides now, that it looks like the goal is for him to play here before the next move, which is you would move him on from here, or hope that you get a deal that would allow you to move him on from here. But I think, and when Joel Embiid mentioned him pregame, you know, saying a lot had gone on in the last couple of months, we hope that you will continue to support us. And he said Ben's name by name, which, by the way, I had said last week. I don't know if anybody had seen or noticed, but he had not ever said his name from media day until last night at pregame when he took the mic in front of the fans. So I thought that was a big step. And then postgame, Tobias Harris definitely had Ben's back and asked not just the fans, but asked the media to please show him kindness and understanding for, you know, if I'm summarizing him properly. Can you play, Tom?
I think that, you know, it's easy to look at something on the surface and come to your assumptions on a lot of things, and especially athletes. A lot, you know, in general, in this space, you're depicted as superhumans and not really supposed to have feelings or go through anything. So I think we just have to really understand that he's human first. And, you know, if he's going through something at time, we have to respect that. And we have to be there for him as a team, organization, fans, all the way down the line, because when he's in here putting on a show and helping us get wins, everybody's cheering and praising. But with something, you know, we live in a "what have you done for me lately" type world, and when that's not the case, you know, it's easy to turn it around. So I think at this time, you know, he needs more support than neglect. And I think we just gotta be there for him as a team. I relay that to the group, and I hope that message is loud and clear to our fans and everybody around the organization, and honestly, you guys as well as media. You know, you guys have a job as well, and I understand the field that you're in, but you guys gotta understand that we're talking about a person as well that has a family, has emotions. You know, he's a great person as well. So we gotta really respect that, and you know, just don't do everything for the click, for the clicks, for the clickbait. You know, understand that we're a team. Philadelphia 76ers, you guys, media, we are a team. We win games. It helps your job, make your job easier. So I think we gotta look at that as a collective effort as well.
So that was Tobias Harris after last night's 114-109 loss to the Brooklyn Nets on the topic of Ben Simmons. And so it's a wait and see. But I do believe that the goal is for him to wear a 76ers uniform at some point and to show that he is still the valuable basketball player that he was for them in the previous years, and that he had he has had tough postseasons. And so to be able to work on both of those things to get him right, to get him back out there. But I don't think that, I think that's the first goal. I still don't believe that the ultimate goal is for him to be in another city playing basketball. I think that's definite for him. I don't think we will hear from him for a while. I really don't. But I do believe that the Sixers and his teammates know that he does help them win basketball games. And so they have to want to embrace and bring him back because they want to win games. Last night, his not being in the lineup is not the reason they lost that game, in my opinion. But we can discuss. All right, let's go to Tony in his taxi, I assume. Tony, you're working and hanging out with us?
They call me Tony Taxi.
Oh, I got you. All right.
How you doing, Dick?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. Listen, just a few things. I'll be as brief as I can. Well, from afar, I always admire Doc Rivers, but as I see him coach now, too many flaws in his coaching. And I tell you what. First of all, Danny Green should have been off the floor. Three straight air balls. There's no way he could start for me. Secondly, he didn't challenge a call that was clearly a charge. I don't know. You said. I heard you say that he said he have guys up there looking. But
he did. Well, that's I'm just quoting you from him postgame.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's what he said to get, you know, to take the heat off of him. But he didn't make that call. And then when I seen him come in and put Ben Simmons is not a point guard. He's a small forward. They put him at small forward. They get the productivity out of him that they need. When I seen all those things from Doc, and then finally, when they talk about a player's wingspan for rebounds, blocking shots, but primarily for cutting down passing lanes. When you watch them play defense, they play with their shoulders. Nobody's hands are spread out to cut down the passing lanes if you got this tremendous wingspan.
I think Thibault plays with his wingspan is significant, in my opinion. Maybe not last night to you, but the guy doesn't get the blocks and the steals that he does. But he gets in passing lanes all the time.
Yeah, he does. But I'm looking at overall. I'm watching the players playing. You learn this at a high school level, how to cut down the passing lanes. I don't see it. And when I see this out of Doc, and I admire him as a person, but when I see these things, it makes me doubt his total coaching ability. That last night loss was totally on the coach. Nobody else. Nobody else. Danny Green was, the shooters was on the bench during that time. Korkmaz was hot. He was on the bench. He didn't bring Curry until later.
Well, I wouldn't say Korkmaz was hot. I mean, he made one three-pointer last night. He was 3 of 7. So I can't say he was hot.
Korkmaz looked on to me. We had more confidence. Danny Green just, I don't know, he was in another world. He was supposed to pull him then, at least put a shooter on the floor. And Niang, he missed a few open shots.
Yeah, he was 2 of 7. I mean, look, we're talking about guys, Niang and Korkmaz in the opener were lights out. Danny Green, you can disagree that he kept him in there, but I will tell you, he feels like Danny, because I asked him, and he's like, you know, that's Danny. He misses somebody, he always thinks he's going to make the next. And I think a lot of guys who come to rely on people that they trust see it that way. I thought that they were costly air balls, but he kept referring, but it's not that it was an air ball. It was that it was a good shot, in his opinion.
Oh, they were good looks. No question about that. But the first air ball, he'd have been out of the game for me. And he continued to miss like that. So in clutch time, he's not a clutch player. I believe you have to have your clutch shooters on the floor in crunch time.
All right. So I got
you,
Tony.
There.
You're right. I mean, you're welcome. Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it. I think if we went back to Danny's times on other teams, he certainly made shots for San Antonio. He certainly made shots for Toronto. He missed a big one with the Lakers at one point. in the bubble, and that was tough. I know I'm without knowing, and I'll look it up, but I believe he ended up shooting over 40% from three last year. So to look, I was super bothered by the three air balls, believe me. But his overall value has to be, you know, has to go to his resume. Now, people do get where they're getting older, and now you start to slip. I agree with that, which is why I asked. It was fatigue a factor in that? Was a 34-year-old, is he just, you know, is he feeling fatigued? And by the way, he only played 20 minutes. We'll continue the conversation. Ed, Sean, Danny, I'm coming to you guys. You guys can help me out on this topic and more with the Philadelphia 76ers when we return right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
3:30 on the dot here at 97.5 The Fanatic. I am Dee Lynam with you until 6:30, taking you up to Temple football. They'll play a 7 o'clock game against South Florida. So, a couple of things on Twitter before we go back to the phones. One from Alan Waltman. Embiid should have had knee surgery over the summer. Just to be clear, I know he did not have for the torn meniscus in the right knee. The right knee is what is bothering him now. But he got banged in the knee in the season opener. And he came into the season saying he felt fine. And keep in mind, he played with the torn meniscus in the Atlanta series when he averaged more than 30 points and more than 12 boards in a 7-game series. So, and he made that decision with the Sixers medical staff and the front office signing off on it. So, could that come back to haunt him that he didn't? Sure, but I don't believe it's fair to say the right knee soreness right now has anything to do with the meniscus because it was a knee on knee, he hit right into somebody else's knee. So I think we should just be clear about that one. Tobias Harris only had 2 points in the second half. Kyle M. says that's unacceptable. Rivers waited too long to get Embiid back in. That actually was at the request of Embiid, who wanted a little more time on the bench. I don't know if that was knee related, but they did say that in the postgame. And Cork Miles for Green. The one thing about when Green came into the game, he and Seth Curry came in at the same time. And at the time that Green checks in the fourth quarter with 5.5 minutes and the team up 10, he was 2 of 3 from the floor. Seth Curry ends up being tied for a team high 23 points. So at the time, neither should have been perceived to be a bad substitution. And lastly, in terms of LaMarcus Aldridge, I mentioned how he had 13 points in the fourth. You know, at least 4 of those baskets and 2 free throws came after Embiid checked back in. Now, if you're saying that it happened because Embiid was on the bench too long and now he's not ready to, we're not up to speed with what Aldridge ends up doing, I don't know. You can expand on that for me. But at the time, I just have to say, the Danny Green, he was 2 of 3. Now he checks in. He misses his first jumper when his team's up 4. That was with 3:19 to play. He takes his next one at 2:07 and next one at 1:40. That they were all air balls. I don't know if that actually makes me feel worse about it. if it had just clanked off the rim, would I feel better that he missed it? It does do something to the optics that they are three air balls. At least if it hits the rim, you got a better chance of getting a rebound, an offensive rebound. Anyhow, all right, let's go back to the phones, and then we'll take a listen to Joel Embiid from last night. Ed in Elkins Park. Ed, what's going on? How are you?
How you doing? When Daryl Morey was with Mike on this show, he said they weren't going to settle for role players, but only a difference maker, i.e. someone who could break offensively at the end of the game, make their own shot like Jimmy Butler did with us, and, you know, scored. And that's what's missing, and that's why the Sixers are never going to get beyond a second round of the playoffs. They don't have that player, and that's the one missing link. And unfortunately, that was supposed to be the top draft pick in 16 and 17, and we wouldn't have this issue. We probably would have had a title.
When they took Ben and then Markel?
Yeah, so you see, Morey knows we're missing this, and how's he going to get that player? He's not around. I mean, I don't know. We're not going to be able to get anything, that player, for Simmons. So we're stuck, basically, in purgatory.
Well, I don't know that you're stuck. I mean, it is a team that had the number one seed in the Eastern Conference a year ago. Now they end up losing in the semifinals of the conference semifinals in a game seven on their home floor. That is true. I would say, just to be clear what they think, they play through Joel Embiid. So in their mind, they do have a stars comparable to what other people have. Would they like to have a second star? Did they believe that Ben Simmons is that second star? They do. They know he needs to do things differently with his game in certain parts of the game, you know, adding a jump shot, improving the foul line. Yeah. I can't say that they'll never get anything for him. We don't know. You don't know how other team seasons will unfold. And if,
I mean, a star player. He said he doesn't want role players.
I understand that. I heard him. You don't have to keep regurgitating. I heard him. He does not want role players. A star player, it depends on what you see. Do you think Malcolm Brogdon is a star?
No, but at least he's better. At least he can get his shot off and make some plays.
All right. You're not getting Jimmy Butler.
That's what I'm saying. We lost him.
Well, Jimmy had something to say about that as well. If he didn't want to stay here, he wasn't going to stay here.
So I don't know. I'm not positive.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope it's better than purgatory. That's all.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. I mean, I think you have to define star. First of all, if you think your guy is a star, he's made three all-star teams. A star is somebody that helps you win on a nightly basis. I think that's, you know, the definition should be, like, maybe we should go back and say, Daryl, what are you saying you don't want role players? Okay, that means he doesn't want your guy 6 through 8 for his starting point guard. I get that. But another starter in this league, two starers in this league, I'm not going to rule out that he's willing to do that. Maybe Tobias Harris has not made an all-star team. Is he a star in this league? I mean, some people think he is. He's certainly very close to being an all-star, might make an all-star team this year. I'd have to look at who he's up against. Actually, there's a lot of improvement in the East, so maybe that would be tough. But I'm just saying, define star for me. Sean is with us in Penn Valley. Sean, how's it going?
D, hey, how's it going?
It's a good day.
Hey, love your show. I'm a huge Sixers fan, so I love listening to you talk basketball. Just all sports talk, no junk talk.
Were you there?
Yeah, I was at the game last night. And the place was rocking. It was good to be back. And if you ask me, you know, before the game, hey, if we end up losing to Brooklyn by a few points before the game, I'd say, you know, okay, maybe Brooklyn's a good team. It's just the way we lost is just, it was just so demoralizing. I mean, my brother and I got a beer at Xfinity before the game, and I I was sick to my stomach because I was having flashbacks of the Atlanta series being back there. Right. And
before the game. Oh, my goodness.
We were there. We were there for one of the Hawks games, and I had flashbacks of the Hawks. I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. And the way we lost, it just felt so similar.
Well,
to the
because
Hawks
of loss. Yeah. Now, it wasn't as big a lead, but the lead was 10 with 5.5 to go. So
right. I mean, we controlled the game. We were up 10 with 5 to go. And so my thoughts, so I'm demoralized. My thoughts are, I look at Doc Rivers and I'm just like, Doc, I'm just like, what are you doing, Doc? Like, what is, I mean, the guy has losing in his DNA. And look, he can still be a good basketball coach, which I think he is. He obviously knows the game. He's got a ton of wins. You can still be a great basketball coach and have a loser's DNA in your system. And it seems like it's permeating the Sixers team. I felt like that's what happened in the Hawks series.
A lot of people would agree with you that that's actually where I think people started to turn, because when they hired Doc to replace Brett Brown, I would say majority of this town was like, hey, good for you guys to go out and get this guy. And I would say after the Hawks series, now again, there were two huge leads that were given up and then a loss of game 7 on your home floor. So, and because that has happened to him with different teams in the past, more so than any other coach, it now brings the conversation, and it also allows people to use their eyes to scrutinize basically, you know, quarters like last night's fourth quarter.
Exactly. And so from a basketball standpoint, X's and O's, I look at Doc, the hockey line substitutions, which he didn't do a ton last night. He did it at the very end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth. And we kind of got lucky because that unit actually grew our lead. Mm-hmm. But I think the more he does that against good teams, it just doesn't work. He did it in the Hawks series. I don't want 5 scrubs on the floor at the same time.
At one time. Yeah, no, I hear you.
I don't get why he does that. The other thing, D, did you see one pick and roll that the Sixers ran last night? I mean, are the Sixers allergic to pick and roll action for some stinking? 90% of the NBA
it runs pick and roll. Yep.
Does pick and roll for a reason, because it puts a lot of pressure on the defense. And look, we've never really had a guard with Ben. Ben's not a threat on the. But now, look, you got Maxie in there. Maxie's a slasher. He puts pressure on the. Why are we not running high ball screen pick and rolls? Like, that should be a staple in our offense. Doc is not doing that. And the other thing, like, run some inside out with Embiid.
Yeah.
Like, dump it into Embiid. You know, kick it out, in and out, in and out. Put some pressure on the. We ran no offensive action that was. It was just a bunch of one-on-one crap.
Yeah. Now I would say this. I don't know for a fact. I don't know if Embiid not being 100%. I always feel like in the past that has impacted where he plays offensively. And, you know, I don't know that, because that question wasn't asked specifically like that. And my other thing is, you said the starting lineup to start the fourth. You're right. It was Maxie with Drummond, Nyang, Korkmaz, and Thybulle.
Right.
Now, generally speaking, I don't hate that lineup. And certainly in, I already forgot who they said. New Orleans. In the New Orleans, you know, Korkmaz and Nyang in that fourth quarter, well, Korkmaz in particular, he scored 18. So I think part of it is in his mind, this worked pretty well for me a couple days ago. I have no problem starting this fourth quarter like this.
Right. I mean, against good teams, you're going to get burned with that. The last thing I'll say.
That's a good point. Brooklyn is a better team than New Orleans.
Yeah. Yeah. The last thing I'll say is that I think that this team lacks leadership. It lacks leadership on the basketball court. Now, look, we have a lot of veteran leaders, but we don't have killers at the end of the game. And that's what I think ultimately, you know, killed us in the Hawks series. I mean, look, Tobias wants to be the vocal leader of the team, and he is. Like, we have veterans who instill professionalism. So we have a bunch of pros. They're accountable. You know, they're going to do the right thing. They're going to say the right thing. But look, in the throes of the game, when the game's on the line, they're all looking at each other like, who's going to take the big shot? And I know we want Embiid to be that guy.
And I think Embiid is a willing guy to do that. I really do.
He is. But look, Embiid was dominant during the Hawks series. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But the game five and game seven, Embiid was a sloppy mess in that fourth quarter, last 2 minutes. Let's not make no bones about it. And last night, he's starting to have this pattern. I don't feel a lot of confidence that if we have a minute left, 30 seconds left, and we need a bucket and we dump it down to Embiid, half the time he's dribbling it off his foot. Like, I love Embiid. He's my guy. But, I mean, we do not have, and deep into the playoffs against good teams, this is every great team has one guy that has just a killer belief and a will to win that's going to get you a bucket. Jimmy Butler, Steph.
Well, you saw two of them last night, Durant and Harden.
Yeah,
certainly.
Like every great team has that. We don't, and it's until we get that guy, you're not going to go deep in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's good, Sean. Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. I think statistically, Tobias and willingly that Tobias would say yes, and I have to go with Embiid would too. His turnovers in the Atlanta series, I believe the last game, didn't he have eight? I think he had eight in game seven. Absolutely. You know, last night, I can't blame his on turnovers because, as I said, I think they only had two in the fourth quarter, so, and nine for the games. So their problem wasn't the turnovers in the fourth. It was just poor execution in terms of ball movement, getting it to guys or guys not making shots. Danny Green, right? You tell me they were good shots, and they were. But I do need to know, like, three consecutive air balls in a matter of 2 minutes? I don't get that. 610-632-0975. Tom, do we have Embiid on? He talked last night just about the execution of this team down the stretch. I believe he was asked about.
We gotta do better when it comes to execution. Danny had two air balls. We gotta get. I mean, that's good shots, especially for him. But and then I missed the layup. And then Tobias missed a floater. We could have moved the ball a little better the last, three or four minutes. We had the first good 44 minutes of the game moving the ball, playing with each other. And I thought in the fourth quarter, the ball kind of, stuck a little bit. And I wasn't as aggressive as I would have liked. It's the second game of the season against Brooklyn. That's a good team, man. Considered to, the favorite to win it all. So I thought the guys, did a great job. Obviously, we can always get better, and we will.
There's a lot about it that he said that I like there. First of all, when he's asked about what goes wrong, I mean, I like that he's not going to be afraid. Danny Green did miss two shots. He himself did miss a layup. Tobias did miss. Like, can't be sensitive to the fact that this is what went wrong. And they are the favorite to win it all. So that's just truth. You can always be better. Yes. That they had good ball movement for about 45 minutes. Not 40. Yeah, close. True. And so I think a lot of what he said is accurate. And the blame was shouldered, namely, on their top three guys that they have. And that was himself, Danny Green, and Tobias. Pretty, to me, he told it like it was. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Danny in Delaware. Danny, what's going on?
Hey, D, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I was at the game last night. I think it goes back to the same problem for years. Where we don't have, again, like the last caller was saying, we need that guard that can put the ball on the floor, create his own shot, and hit shots.
We should come up with our top list of this because everybody wants it. And not a list that you can go out and get them. But like Jimmy Butler's name comes up often. I would put Damian Lillard in that
I would even put Portland's other guard in there.
CJ McCollum. The only thing I would say about CJ, I don't think CJ goes and gets his own shot. I think he knocks down shots, not goes and gets it as much, not as much as Dame.
Well, of course, not as much as Dame, but I think that's a trade where you could probably do, where you don't have to package in. If you go to get Dame, you're going to have to give up Maxi, Thibault, and Ben.
Lillard the other day said he wants to stay in Portland. I'm not saying that that's forever, but when your main guy, who Portland has said they want to keep, says that he wants to stay, it's probably not on the table in the current moment.
Yeah, that's why I just think out of all the trades that you hear out there, CJ seems like the most sense. If you look at his numbers, the guy put up last year 23 a game. He shoots 8 to 9 threes a game, so he could space the floor. I think he can create. You need a guard similar to that. I don't know too many others out there, but that's what we lack the most, is someone that could put the ball, get his own shot, give you 20-something a game, and then we take the next level. I think that would be a good trade, in my opinion. Where you don't have to gut the rest of your roster or give up good young talent that we don't want to lose. I don't know. Hopefully. Now, I keep hearing December 15th is a day where, I guess, guys that were signing all season that could be traded.
Correct.
Do you think this is going to happen before the deadline, or do you think that, I don't want this to go on all year. I know they're saying the right things about Ben, but reality-wise, it's time to get rid of, for a good trade. You don't want to just trade him. I like what they're doing by waiting, but at some point you got to get this guy, the new guy in here, to get him acclimated with the team where they could start developing the chemistry. So there's no way you could go all year like this.
I can tell you they don't want to, but I will tell you this. The team that is going to take Ben Simmons will owe him $147 million. Everybody thinks you can't, just move him. The bottom line is, given the way things have unfolded over certainly the last month and a half, or if you want to take it all the way back to the summer, I think there would be reservation on the part of teams of the Ben that they're getting. How much is he going to be able to handle whatever city he goes to? How much does he want to play basketball at this point? And for $147 million, I have to think that teams in the current moment are thinking about making that deal. Am I doing the right thing for my franchise?
Yeah, so do you think this could go on past this year, or do you think it could happen at the deadline?
Well, I'm just listening to everybody talking the last 48 hours, I would say that they have every intention of doing what they can to get him back on the court here in Philadelphia.
To get his value up or
even to help themselves. And he does help them. I am in agreement with you. I would not want to go into a postseason if they get him back on the floor and he's helping you win games. That's all great, fine and dandy. But he has done that for you for 4 years.
I'm in a belief where I think our bench got better. I really do. I like getting Drummond. I think Niang had a bad night, but they got shooters now.
Yeah.
They got shooters I think Gort Maz is impressing me too so far. He looked like he looks like he gets better every year.
Agree. I don't think people think that, but I'm in agreement with you. I think his confidence has grown each year, and I think he's become more reliable. He shot over 40 last year from three.
Yeah. And I thought he was having a pretty decent game. He had double figures, but it seems like when you're watching a Sixer game, and I don't know, maybe it's me, but you'll see a guy doing good, and then he comes out of the game. Now, I know he wants to go to his guys, like his money guys that are getting paid. Gort Maz was playing good. I probably would have kept him in over Danny Green at that stage because he was having he was playing pretty good in the fourth quarter. That's when we had a 10-point lead. Then he makes the substitutions. These guys are cold. Then they got to come right back in the game and try to, you know what I mean?
Well, the only thing I'm going to tell you, when Korkmaz left the game at that point, he was 3 of 7 from the floor. Danny Green comes in, he's 2 of 3 from the floor. I mean, he had personal fouls. I think he had 4 personal fouls. But I wouldn't say he hadn't done anything wrong yet. In the next 2 minutes, less than 2 minutes, he has this terrible stretch of air balls. But yeah, I can't judge the substitution, because his work before the 3 air balls was fine, and the 3 air balls happened in less than 2 minutes.
Yeah, but where he had the 2 threes was real early in the game.
So I know, first quarter, you're right, 7 yeah. minutes. Yep.
So, and I think Korkmaz is the guy that can, he's not just, he can put the ball on the floor, which he got a lot better at, where he's putting the ball on the floor. He's aggressive. Plus, he's shooting, where Danny's just like a shooter. He can create.
I appreciate the phone call. Danny Green is supposed to be able to be one of your best defenders. Can he still do that at 34? I'm not sure. But that is the reason that he's out there. He's your 3-and-D guy. That's who he's been. Is he too old to do it now? I don't have the answer for you. 610-632-0975. Dominic, Theo, and Joe, I'm coming to you on the other side. We'll continue talking about the Sixers, who will play the game number 3 tomorrow night at home against the winless Thunder from Oklahoma City.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.